There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk to John Defterios. We are at the Renaissance downtown. John is in London, joining us from CNN Central in London. John, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to be back, you guys. Hope you're doing well at the Renaissance there.
It's good fun here. I have to say, it's very nice. We're getting a sneak peek of what the hotel offers. It's going to be opening soon. I hope the family are okay. You're back in London, John.
Yeah, I was in Stockholm, Sweden, chairing an event. It was an interesting one with the Make in India campaign. And India partnering up with Stockholm for foreign direct investment. So it was fascinating seeing a country small, very similar to the UAE in population, partnering up with a gigantic economy and 1.3 billion people. And I was using the example of the UAE, by the way, saying that the bilateral trade between the UAE and India is $70 billion. And today with Sweden, it's $2 billion, but it can grow using the local example. It's quite fascinating. But they want to tap that innovation of the Nordic countries, in particular Sweden, because of its prowess over the last two decades in that space.
John, can I ask you about, I guess this is the story that is front and center internationally, but in particular in this region, a Financial Times report that the Aramco IPO is not going to happen. Aramco have said, no, it is going to happen. We are on track. But the reports, of course, persist. What's your take?
Well, it's interesting. The language used by Aramco is very delicate in its nature. They tried to balance it out. There's different definitions of what the IPO could look like, Tim. So number one, it may not be a listing in London and New York. There's some heat domestically here in London. That's what I thought was interesting for being here, because they have the financial authority, which bent the rules a little bit to say that you could have a state-run operator that could float, that the ruling family could maintain royalties, still could call the shots in terms of overall production, and still pull off a listing. That may not be as simple as originally suggested. That probably wouldn't fly in New York. So alternative IPO, and it would still be an IPO, but a different definition of an international IPO, you could list in Riyadh and take what they call the Potemkin approach, using the Ukrainian phrase here, the staircase of Potemkin, and do a listing in Riyadh, and then do share placements with the major sovereign funds, particularly of their customers, by the way. And I'm thinking of China here, Japan, South Korea. They would probably be stakeholders, get perhaps even a discount or locked-in sales from Saudi Aramco for years to come with that share placement with them. It would still achieve international investment. It would still be solid investment from their partners. It would still be an IPO if they did it in Riyadh, but clearly not as ambitious as the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was aiming to do with this international IPO. They were even at one point, Tim, let's not forget, we talked about this in the last year, a listing in New York, London, perhaps Tokyo or Shanghai and Hong Kong. So that doesn't look like it's in the cards because it's more complex. But when you get into state royalties, perhaps family royalties, transparency in terms of where those holdings are and who's calling the shots on the production for a publicly traded company, it gets complicated. But you saw the bankers, they need to get on the same line with the government here. So the FT had the angle. In fact, I spoke to a banker a month ago who's involved in the transaction. He says it's still on track for the second half of 2018, but he didn't want to clarify whether it would be an international listing or not. And I think it could be that alternative that I'm talking to you about.
And John, I'm seeing headlines over the weekend from North America, from London. As you mentioned, the FT had the story quite big. Why is this IPO being watched so closely?
Well, Natalie, it's $2 trillion. It would be bigger than anything else that went out before in terms of the company valuation. Controversially, the FT is suggesting the analysis they have had run on the numbers would be about half that. So, again, the Crown Prince, as part of his 2030 plan and near-term this 2020 National Transformation Plan, was to raise this money, invest it in other sectors outside of energy, and help diversify the economy, particularly give a boost to the private sector. They want to get 60 to 65% of the economy into the private sector by 2030. That's going to be a tall order if you don't start diversifying, and they wanted to raise capital from this to push that diversification. So everything we're watching is very carefully, but I also should kind of remind our listeners here, if you look at the FT story very carefully, it's the bankers that are talking, and some of the bankers are very much involved. The FT is very solid. Bloomberg ran a piece. I've spoken to some of the bankers. They still could be on track for 2018, but it may not be the big international play that they're talking about. We'll know a lot more, by the way. I'm going to Saudi along with the same group of journalists that we talked about here for this big future investment initiative that's taking place the 24th to the 26th. And there'll be discussion about this, and I'm sure we'll get updated, but they need to clarify the position with the banks they have on retainer and themselves to clarify, because right now there's just a big question mark over the whole process.
John, let's stay with major oil concerns. Move from Aramco to ADNOC. The rebranding that has been mooted to bring 16 brands under one umbrella. First question, why? And why the shift also?
Well, it's fascinating, Tim, and I think I agree with the strategy of the UAE on this. This is being driven by the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Zayed, and the new group CEO of ADNOC over the last couple of years, Dr. Sultan Al Jaber, who I interviewed, by the way, last week, and we're going to do a whole kind of profile on this for Marketplace Middle East in the next week to come. They're consolidating 16 different brands that they have today under the ADNOC brand. I think it makes a lot of sense because you had a DATCO for shipping, the gas co for the gas company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it diluted not only the brand internationally, but I think it also diluted the unity within the core group of employees within the company. So the idea is put it under one umbrella and potentially have the ability to raise funds. And he and I talked about this with the CEO, perhaps to spin off 10% of the gas distribution company, which is very profitable. Look at the oil services company. Look at the tanker business. Potentially look at the pipeline business. But a very different strategy, by the way, which I tend to agree with again, sell minority stakes in the divisions and potentially raise $14 to $16 billion, but don't roll out any equity in the parent company, which would stay with the state. I think it's actually wiser because you don't go through this accounting challenges of the future, because you can open each division you want to greater scrutiny, but you still hold majority share in each one of them, if that makes sense. By the way, huge, huge rebranding exercise and celebration in Abu Dhabi. Just about this today. So it's the blue and white now of ADNOC coming under one umbrella.
And John, if we can just finally look at the IPO approach of ADNOC versus Aramco, what's the big difference here?
Well, it's just that what I was just suggesting there, Natalie, not selling the stake in the parent company, but selling minority stakes in these various divisions. So I said they had 16 divisions. They're looking at potentially two or three to start with, and maybe 2018 and 19, maybe sell 10%. Maybe to your international partners. They have a lot of international partners already involved, like Total, BP, Shell, that have been there for years, I mean decades, actually. So that's a very big difference. But, you know, the common theme that we shouldn't forget here, it's not oil of $100 a barrel. We're looking at $50, $60 a barrel. How do you extract value in a $50, $60 environment? I think they probably would like to have done this when they were making $100 a barrel, because it would have generated more revenue. But it's a smart strategy to realize value in different ways and squeeze efficiencies out of 16 different companies and then build pride within the brand, if you will. I think the national oil companies have always been quite sleepy compared to the international oil companies. Everybody knows those names of the IOCs, not the national oil companies like ADNOC or even Aramco, for that matter, Kuwait Petroleum. That's changing now. I think it's a very smart strategy, very prudent strategy, and the new normal of $50 to $60 a barrel, if that makes sense.
It does. John in London, John Defterios from CNN, back in Abu Dhabi next week.
Yep, we'll talk to you then.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.